Morning. I'm Matt. I'm one of the pastors here. In case you don't know who I am, and that doesn't really ultimately matter all that much because we're here for Jesus. Couple of quick announcements before we get rolling. Normally Chase is up here doing announcements. He's not feeling well this morning, so be praying for him. And just a heads up, I'm not feeling well either. The only reason I'm standing is I'm totally jacked up on cold medicine right now. So if I didn't shake your hand this morning, don't take it personally. I just don't want to get you sick. I'm wondering if I got my next round. Like, I timed it perfectly, so right at 11 o'clock I can take more for the 11 o'clock service. Then I'm going to go home and sleep for 3 days. So you can be praying for us about that. Oh man, it's good to see y'all. I'm so excited to be here. You are at the 9:30 service. You obviously know that. But just so you do know, we also have an 11:15 now. It's fairly full in here now. And so I know that the second service last week seems small, but if you add that onto here, we're actually out of chairs again. And so, I'm just happy to be with y'all. And that's a good problem that we have doing these two services. So it's good to see you. Couple things going on. One is immediately after church today, both services. So if you decide you want to come back, you can. There's going to be what we call TASTE, which is our membership class. And it's not just membership. It's also the DNA, what we're about, how we do what we do, and what our plan is to reach Boulder, really. And so we break that down. What are you on today, Chase?
The last week we talked about the city and the affirmation of faith.
Yeah, we go through the affirmation of faith and what it means to be a Christian, really. And so we walk through that with you, and it's 7 weeks long. We do it often. This is the last week around. If you're like, man, I haven't gone to any of that yet, you can go to this one, and we'll check it off so that when the next round comes through, you can catch up that way. So that's right after church today. You can attend that if you would like. The second thing is, starting up on Thursday, we're really excited about this, Theology on Tap will be happening at 7:30 at Boulder Beer Brewery, and we have a room reserved there. And basically what that is the first week is going to be, Chase is going to be heading that up. He's going to be taking questions from people, theological questions that they have, things that they struggle with, things that they don't like in the Bible, all that. That's all fair game. And then we've invited people who, believe it or not, don't believe in Jesus to come to that as well. And we're going to get after it. We're going to go after it and say, what does the Bible have to say about this stuff? And how do we know this? Not just accept it because, well, the guy with the face mic, which we don't have here, said so, right? Just, why do I know this? Why does this matter? Does this matter? We're going to go after this stuff, and so I'm really excited about that. And then the last thing is, if you are a covenant member here, next Sunday is, we're probably going to do it once a year, kind of our annual covenant members meeting. We have no idea where we're doing yet. We think we have a location locked in. It's the glory of not owning a building and renting everything, is we really know where we're going to meet for anything. But if you are a covenant member, I can't express enough how much we need you to be there. Because we really rely on you as the body of the people who said, this is my home, this is where I belong, this is where I'm going to commit and live and do life with these people so that disciples are made in Boulder. Man, we're going to cast vision there. We're going to lay out like what we're doing with money in this year. All these kinds of things. And we want you to be informed. We want you to know. Because this is yours. This isn't Matt's. This is the body of Christ operating as Jesus has intended it to operate. So if you are a covenant member, please RSVP on the city so we know who's coming, you know, and how to adequately plan. And if you're like, well, I'm not done with the membership process yet, if you will be done with this cycle, you are more than welcome to attend. And if you're going, what is the city? Then you should find out after church. There's a booth downstairs, and they will help you out with that as our primary way of connecting with you. Okay. Let me pray, and then we're going to get after it because we have another service coming in here, and we started a little bit late today. So let me pray, and let's go. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have given it to us. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit that he has fallen, and that he has changed hearts, and that he has illuminated our hearts and our minds to understand the word that you have given to us. Lord, I pray for this body right now that you would be working in us, that our hearts would be receptive to what you have for us. Lord, I feel as inadequate as I ever have really preaching right now here today with sickness. I'm tired, my family's sick, all that. But that doesn't matter because you are good, yeah. And your word will be proclaimed and your spirit will move. And so we rest in that, not on any man, not on any woman, not in any gifting, but solely on your power and your gospel. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. Well, we are in a series in Ephesians. Generally, how we preach here at the Well is book by book. Every once in a while, you'll get a topical message every once in a while. And usually, by topical, for us, that usually means this week we're teaching on Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. That's about as topical as we usually get. One time we did the incommunicable attributes of God because we're nerds like that. But this week, we are continuing in Ephesians, and what we're doing is we're just walking right through it. We're going right through the book, and this week we're in chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. That's where we are. And, man, just to catch you up with where we've been, if you read Ephesians at all on your own, if you go through it, which you really should because it's so good, just a heads up, it is impossible for us to cover everything in every text we preach through the book of Ephesians, let alone any text in the Bible. But so much here. There's so much there. I'd encourage you to be reading. And if you read it on your own, you're going to notice a theme. Okay? And it goes like this. The first three chapters are all about God capturing His people, Him saving His people. The last three chapters are about what He's doing with them once He has captured them. So that's why we call it Captured and Captivated. That's why this series is called that. And then you'll notice a little undertone underneath that. And it goes like this. It goes, here's your state before Jesus, and here's who you are now because of Him. It just goes back and forth. So if you want a secret, I'm pretty much preaching the same message every week. And that's okay, because we need to be reminded of it, don't we?
Yeah.
We need to be reminded of where we came from and what He has done and where we are now. Because we are quick to forget, aren't we? Aren't we so quick to forget what Jesus has done for us? At least, apparently nobody else but me. So, okay. You can say amen here. You can do stuff. I'm leaning on Will back there for a little bit of moral support in that area. So, let's read our text, and we'll dive right in. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember, that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision, we're going to talk about this, it's a little weird, but just stay with me. Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. Okay, lots in there, we're going to get into it, but here's something I know about you, and the reason I know this about you is because the same thing applies to me, is that you really desire to be accepted. You do. I don't care how original you are, you are being original to a specific group that you're trying to be accepted into. We all do it. When I was thinking about this, I really thought of it in the light of this, is that when I was thinking about how I want to be accepted, really nothing's changed since middle school for me in that arena, other than that now I have a little bit of money, and I'm married, and I have a kid. I still want to be accepted, so basically, we're just taller middle schoolers running around with money. We all want to be accepted. We all want people to like us. We all want good relationships. We all want these things. And don't hear me saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying that's a good thing, to be accepted into a group and to have good relationships. But we all really feel that tension to be accepted in life. It's just a reality. And I was thinking about this, man. I was thinking about my own life and kind of how silly it's been, but how real it's been for me. So I've moved a fair amount in my life, but I remember when I was in middle school, I went to this one school called East Central High School. You guys are going to get a little bit of Matt history here, like you care. But I went to this school, and it was much It was a big school. And I was there, and then my parents decided to move, and I had to switch schools. But like not like big move, like I moved to my rival high school kind of deal, you know? So I just moved down the road, and I remember moving there, but here's the thing about the school that I moved into. It was there were certain names in the school that if you had this certain last name, you all of a sudden got bumped up a level of coolness or whatever, or like, there was, like, I played football, right? Like, there was a guy whose uncle played in the NFL, who came out of our high school, and because of his last name, he automatically pretty much got a starting spot, which drove me insane. I was like, this is not fair, right? Like I was any good either, you know? Like, I thought I should have it, right? And so, like, it was this whole thing. I came in, and I stepped into this brand new world where there's this whole system where I wanted so badly to be accepted. You know, if I were really to trace back, I would say probably my biggest want in life has always been to be accepted. And so I worked really hard in high school, specifically in the sports arena, and I made it, and I did well. I did well, and I made it up there, and I was like, I'm going to be the guy that accepts the new guys that are coming in. I'm going to be that guy. I always wanted to be that guy. I always kind of wanted to be the guy that looked for the guy that didn't quite fit in, and I wanted to bring him up with me, which was really kind of prideful if you really think about it, right? So I wanted to do that. So that's high school, right? So I'm desiring to be accepted, and I worked really hard, and I got there, and I was kind of one of the cool kids, but never really fit in all the way. So I was like, you know what I need to do? This is a Midwest thing. I'm getting out of here. I grew up skiing. I'm out. I'm going west. I'm going to Gunnison, Colorado, and I'm going to go to school at Western State College where people are like me, and I'll be accepted. So I moved to Gunnison, and then everybody starts telling me that you have to be there for 15 years to be a local. At least. Dang it. What do I have to do? You know, like, and so I worked really hard. Like, I got plugged in with all these different campus organizations. I ended up working for a local church there. I tried to do a lot of stuff, and I was involved in the community, and it was a big deal to be local, right? Like, that's a Colorado thing, right? Well, so I'm there for several years, in almost 10 years, and I feel like I got to the grocery store, and I kind of knew everybody now. Now I'm feeling a little bit more accepted. Well, then I decided to move to about the most opposite place you could ever go. I moved to Little Rock, Arkansas for 1 year. Man, the South is a different place. I'd never really been there. South is a little different. Man, like, they got food I've never even heard of. Do you know you can fry okra? Like, I didn't know this before. I went to a place, and you go through the line, and you get your food, and there's a lady standing at the end of the ladle of gravy, and she says, some or all. Like, that's your option. I came from Gunnison, where everybody eats granola, to some or all with gravy. I didn't fit in. So I'm trying to do the thing, trying to fit in there. I'm trying to be accepted. And so I'm there for a year. I don't really know whatever happened with that. I think I'm just like, I dug it. I really loved the South. I'm like, this probably isn't me. Going back west, coming to Boulder, Colorado. Holy cow, what does it mean to be accepted in Boulder, Colorado? Anybody who can figure that out, write a book on it. You sell tons of them. Everybody here is trying to figure out how to be accepted. I don't know if I'm like really flexible. If that's how I become accepted in Boulder, the stretching seems very important, right? Or physically fit, which I'm attempting right now, and I'm miserable because of it. My whole body hurts. Don't ever work out with Ben Lance; it'll kill you. But is it fitness? Is it clothing? Like I'm wearing plaid because I'm supposed to, right? Like, right? Or am I supposed to look like an old man? I'm not really sure what to do here. All this is, that's my life. And I keep going after it. And the trends change, and the people change. Everything changes, and I don't know. I'm always sitting around going, man, how am I accepted? And the silly thing is I'm a pastor, and I know it. It's the gospel. Jesus is the one who accepts me as I am. He's the one who brings me. He's the one who saves me. And I am accepted in his eyes. And that's all that should matter. But for some reason, it doesn't always. And that's what our text today speaks to. Because if you notice, what would Paul say? He said, remember. remember, don't you forget. Don't you forget. Let's dive into it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Let's read 11 and 12. Therefore, remember, he's saying, hey you, remember this, don't forget this. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in flesh by hands. Remember that at one time, separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Man. Paul's doing two things here. He's saying, hey, remember at one point, you were not accepted. He's telling us that. At one point, you weren't accepted. And he's saying later, and we'll get to this, but because of Jesus and his work on the cross, you are now accepted. Okay? He goes in there, who were you? He says a couple things, and it's pretty harsh. Paul drops the hammer every time. This is, like I'm saying, I'm telling you straight. This is the same sermon from last week. Okay? If this one doesn't make sense, just listen to the podcast from last week. But he says, who were you? You were separated. You were alienated. Not part of God's promises. How many of you love the coffee cup that says, you know, like, that I will never leave nor forsake you? I am your God, right? The promises to Israel that we read about. Here's the reality is that without Jesus, unless you're, like, I'm not Jewish. And I'm guessing that you're not either. And if you are, you're probably at the most like 1/4, which would almost be viewed worse in Israelites, a old-time Jew's eyes, right? Like, you're an inbred then. You're even worse, is what they would have thought of us. Saying, man, none of that was for you. None of that. Those verses you love, the story of Moses leading the people out of captivity into the promised land, not for you. Sorry. You were alienated. You had no state. From the commonwealth of Israel, you were not part of it. He's saying, remember this. You were not God's people. Man. Like, Paul, can you take it easy a little bit on me here? Hang with me. He says that you're separated. And what he's talking about here, the circumcision thing that he's talking about, is basically, just to explain that in case you don't know, basically, in the Jewish culture, that was an identifier. Weird one, we'll go with that, but if nonetheless it was an identifier. If you were circumcised, it meant that you were a Jew. If you weren't, then you weren't. That's how they knew you. So basically he's saying, Jew or Gentile. Gentile means everybody other than Jewish descent. And that's what he's talking about here. And Paul's saying, remember this. Remember that you were separated from God. That you were alienated. That you were without a home. The worst part, he says, without hope. Man, who are we without hope? He's saying that's where you were. But you need to understand this and stick with it. You need to understand this. Why does Paul do this? Why does he come down so hard on us repeatedly here? Why does he tell us to remember these things? Because, hear me, if you don't remember, if you don't know your state apart from Jesus, last week, Paul laid into us in a different sense. This week he's going kind of nationality-based. Last week, he just said that you're a sinner and you're a child of wrath. That's what he said last week. He said, that's by nature you were born into that. Adam's sin has passed down from generation to generation to generation. Into you, you were born a child of wrath. And he's saying, that's who you were. So when you grasp that, when you go, that's who I am without Jesus, now the cross, Jesus Christ himself seems so much more beautiful. You need it now. It's not an option for you anymore. Because we like to think of it as this thing that it's like, man, maybe someday I'll need that. But Paul's saying, no, don't, you don't get it. Apart from the cross, you got nothing. no hope. And so what it does is it causes us to look upon the cross and look upon Jesus and go, I need that so badly. Right? This really plays out in their next couple of verses. Let's keep going. Verse 13. Man, Paul loves to throw these buts in here, doesn't he? In this book, if you just can't kind of keep reading it. And it's really helpful that he does that. But verse 13, he says it. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Don't miss that. A lot of times we miss that. Brought near. I want you to picture it like this. If I were able to do the text justice, which I can't because our language doesn't go deep enough to give us good understanding, it is a bringing. We weren't even looking to be brought near. No. And it is saying that because of Jesus, he has come down and like a father has scooped up his children and has hugged them and brought them in. He has brought us near. Nothing has made this make sense in my mind more than having a child. Because here's the reality. My child wants to run full speed down the stairs, but she can barely walk. That's going to go really badly for her, right? She's going to fall. But she wants to go. And my job as her father is to come up beside her, sweep her up, and bring her near and say, I'm not going to allow that for you. I want the best for you. And what our text here is saying is that by Jesus, by his blood, by his death, and we're going to deal with this a little bit more in a second, he has, in a sense, come down and said to us who are getting ready to just run right off the cliff and not even know it. He has swooped us up and brought us near to him and held us tight. He said, I got you. You know what's really cool about that? Like, my daughter, okay, so like, here's one thing I learned about when you have kids. Is that early on, my role as a father was kind of weird. I didn't really know what to do. Like, she didn't really need me at all. I was there for like moral support, like a clap for my wife. Like, do you need anything, babe? Like, I don't really know what to do here. And she's getting at this age now where things are starting to make a little bit more sense. And I'm daddy, which will kill you the first time you hear that, right? And so it's one of these things where now, like, I save her, and she kind of realizes what happened. And she like, grabs on. Oh, man. She rips your heart the first time your kid grabs a hold of your clothes, right? Like, it's just like, what are you doing? Like, what do you want? You want a new car? You're 19 months. I'll get it for you. Whatever. I don't have the money for it, but I'll rob a bank. Whatever you need. Right? And she grabs on, and it's almost like she's like, oh, I didn't even realize what I was about ready to do, Dad, but thank you. Like, she's not, it's not that deep, but it's there. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening with us in Jesus. By the blood of Christ, he has brought us near. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace. He's our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. He's our peace. He himself is doing this work. You see, in ancient Jewish times, there was a sacrificial system that was in place to forgive you of your sins. And what you need to realize for this to make sense is first off, and I know we don't like saying this often, but I love you enough that I'll tell you that you're a sinner, and that so am I, and that we are broken people. That's pretty obvious. And if you're like, nuh-uh, then you got a pretty messed up view of yourself. And what this is saying is that sin has existed. And in the ancient Jewish culture, that there was a sacrificial system to atone for the sin. And what they would do, and if you want to read on your own, I'm not going to go there for time's sake, is Leviticus chapter 4. And everybody's like, man, I hate reading Leviticus. Man, you need to know your Bible. Leviticus is beautiful. Do you know why? Because it's pointing to Jesus. Read Leviticus chapter 4, verses 31 through 35 on your own. Write that down. both of you who brought pens. Okay? write that down. Put that in your mind. Put it in your iPhone, your iPad, whatever you got. Write that down. And you read it, and it's talking about the sin of man and what had to be accomplished for sin to be made right. And it talks about how a lamb is brought forth to the priest and is slaughtered. And the blood of it is sprinkled on the altar. It's a gruesome picture. And what they would say is basically, this lamb is taking your sin on itself in your place. But here's the problem, is that you're supposed to do this every time you sin. That's a lot of goats and bulls and rams and sheep and lamb. In my life, I don't know about you, there wouldn't be a whole lot of animals running around anymore. And this sacrificial system was there. But here's the thing. Jesus says, I want to turn this upside down on its head. It's all pointing to himself. Then check this out. Go with me here. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Listen to this. Check this out. If you read through Leviticus, this will be such a beautiful picture for you to understand this and you begin to grasp this more and more. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once, listen to this, once for all into the holy places, not by means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled person with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from the dead, from dead works to serve the living God? What this is saying is he's saying, listen, the blood of goats and bulls and lamb and sheep was never going to be enough. It was never going to suffice. And the reality is this, is that Jesus' promise is much bigger than for just one nation. It's for all. It's for all. It doesn't matter what race, it doesn't matter what gender, it is for all. And these restrictions that are put out, he's saying, that is not good enough for me. And so I'm going to put my place in there. I'm going to step down from heaven in perfection. And he was perfect, and he lived, and he walked, and he breathed, and he was Jesus, and he was God, and he was man all at once. And he walked among, he felt the temptations that you feel, and he said no to it. He was perfect. He was the perfect lamb. And he was slaughtered. He was killed for his sins. I'm sorry, not for your sins, for our sins. Let me correct that, get that wrong. That's a big mess up. Erase that from memory. We'll be recording the second service for the podcast this week. But he died for our sins. What Jesus did on the cross for mankind is of the utmost importance. And you gotta know that. You have to know that, because so many people out there say, it's too gruesome, it's too horrific, it seems too mean, it's too brutal, and we can't have that going around. But here's the reality. That's what needed to happen, because that's how gruesome and horrible and horrific your sins are. It had to happen. Because of our deserved separation from God, because of sin, a sacrifice had to come in and step in and take the place. Because here's the reality, is that God cannot be in the presence of evil, which separates us from him. We can't be in the presence of him in our natural state. says that's not okay. Martin Luther calls it the Great Exchange. And it's a beautiful picture that he says. And he calls it the Great Exchange because on the cross, here's what happened. A lot of times we just think of it as this thing that happened where there was this gruesome death, but a lot of people were crucified in this time period. What made Jesus different? Well, one was his perfection. But two, have you ever wondered this? And I know I preach this all the time, but I just want us to get it. I want us to get it so badly. Have you ever wondered why when he's on the cross, he yells, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here's what happened in that moment. You happened in that moment. Your sin came upon him. He was you, and God turned his back. And he absorbed the wrath that God had for sin upon himself in that moment. And listen to me. It's not just the sin that you have done. This should be, it seems dark, it seems depressing, but it's not. Stick with me. Because it's also the sin that has been sinned upon you. Have you been treated unjustly? Yes, you have. You're a human being. Some of you more than others. Have you been abused? Physically, emotionally, verbally? Jesus says, I know, because I felt it on the cross. That sin that was there, it came upon me. My blood that was being spilled was for that. He says, I'm taking it. I'm taking it fully. So God, in the time when listen, he had to turn his back on his own son so that we could be made right. And that's why we get to hear the beautiful words from Jesus hanging on the cross when he yells, it is finished. No more goats. No more bulls. It is finished. It is through faith in Jesus alone. Because the sacrifice has been made, and listen to this, you are now what? You are accepted. The theological term we use here is that Jesus was our propitiation. Which simply means this, is that God had the wrath against sin. He had to put that somewhere, and he poured it out on Jesus, and Jesus became a propitiation, which means simply this, is that he absorbed all of that that was intended for you and I upon himself so that you would stand blameless and free before the King. So good. Verse 15. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinance, that he might, listen to this, this is so good, create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace. What are we talking about here? He's saying, listen to me, this dividing wall, this hostility that is between Jew and Gentile is gone. If you were to go back to this time and you were to go to the temple courts, there was literally a wall that stood there and it had signs hanging all over it. If you are a Gentile, do not go beyond this. That's you and me. Do not go beyond this wall, because if you do, your death is on your own hands and we can't help you. You are separate from our God. There is literally a wall dividing us. And Jesus says, by my death, by my blood, no more. The wall is gone. And so he says, I'm taking what was two, right? Two, and I am making them one. With me. He is taking Jew, Gentile, and making them one. So now, listen to me, this matters so deeply. Now when you read your Bible, when you go in here and you see these beautiful promises made to the people of God, they apply to you because you are one in the same with them. You now have one great high priest. You do not go into the temple courts anymore. Jesus says, I'm doing this for such a bigger reason. Nationality and stuff, that matters. Sure, have pride in that, that's all good. But listen, the gospel is so much bigger than that. And Paul affirms it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. Listen to this. Because we have concluded this. Like, check this out. Man, I love it with the Bible. The love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this. He's going to give us the answer on why the love of Christ controls us. That one has died for all. Jesus has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him, who for their sake died and was raised. We are loved because He died and He was raised. All. We have concluded this. Man, we got to grasp this, because this doesn't seem that big of a deal to us now. But we weren't trained with thousands of years of separation. And what Jesus did in a moment was tore down years of traditional separation and said, my people, come to me. There is no system that man is going to set up that will keep me from my children. Man, that's really good news for us sitting in here today. That's really good news. You ever thought about this? This kind of blew my mind this week. The sacrifices that were made for sin atonement, like we read about in the book of Leviticus, were always done where? You can say it out loud if you know where. Say it. The temple, right? Where?
In the temple.
Thank you. Okay, a couple of you are away. Good. In the temple. Where was the sacrifice of Jesus made? It was outside. It wasn't in the temple. I've never really thought about that before. But Jesus says, listen, I'm going to give you no reason to think that you going into this temple, these rules that you've made, these things that you've set up, these walls that you have literally built will keep me from my people. I am going to be crucified in public, and I'm going to die outside of the temple so that you know that your great high priest does not need walls. He does not dwell in anything made by human hands, as the scriptures would tell us. So come on. My people, come to me. The ordinances were in the way. Now I need to put a clarification piece in here. The law of God is still good. A lot of times you want to go, okay, so that's all dead and gone. It's still good. But the sacrificial model that we see in the Old Testament has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The sacrificial model we see in the Old Testament of killing of goats and bulls and all of the animals has been fully met in Jesus. There are no more sacrifices to be made. It has been fulfilled in Him. He has completed it. There is no priest you go to. There is no pastor you go to that can make this right. You go to Jesus, who makes us right. He says, I am your great high priest. Hear me, church. Hear me. You need to know this. You don't deserve to be accepted. And neither do I. I prove it day in and day out. But you are. That tension you feel within your soul to be accepted and to be loved, it has been fulfilled in Jesus. Hear me, church. Hear me on this. If you're seeking love in sex, if you're seeking it out in money to be accepted, if you're giving your body to another person so that they will accept you, it will fail you, and it will break you, and it will hurt you. If you're going out and you want to make tons of money so that people will think that you are good and you'll be accepted, and you can run in the right circles, They won't. Because they want to be accepted too. If you're worried about how am I going to do this thing, how is my spouse going to accept me? Listen, if we start in the right place, it all falls into line. What you need to understand is this, is that the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for you brings you fully accepted before the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The creator of the universe, the one who made you, the one who is sanctifying you, the one who is bringing new lives into this world, the one who is making the sun rise and go down, the one who has made the beautiful mountains behind me, the one that has given people beautiful voices to sing, all of that has fully accepted you.
Amen.
Broken, jacked up you.
Yeah.
And he's saying, stop trying. Just come to me. That's all I really want from you. Why do you keep fighting me? You don't have to fight me. It's all been paid. It's done. You don't have enough money. You're not good looking enough. I know that one. But he's saying, man, I am glorious. And I'm giving you my righteousness. I am imputing it. That's what we would call in the theology. I'm giving it to you. I am passing it down to you. Not only accepted, right? Not like, oh, you're in. You have a club membership. Like, I think of it like this. Like, I have an eco pass. You know what that is in Boulder? Do you have the bus pass? Like, I'm accepted on the bus. Like, I just show the guy and he goes, meh. Like, sometimes if he gives me a meh, that's a good sign. Like, he doesn't even care anymore. Yeah, I watch him yell at somebody, tell him, like, someone's like, hey, have a good day. He told him to shut up and sit down today. Not exactly. Bus drivers, if you become one, I mean, we really need some missionaries in that field. So, I ride the bus almost every day. I'm accepted on the bus. Like, here's my pass. Meh. Shut up, sit down. Not just accepted. Yet you're in if you love Jesus and you claim his name, but you are brought near. Imagine your bus driver like, Matt, so glad you're here. Give me a hug, buddy. That'd be kind of weird. But I'm accepted. I am brought near. And not only that, I am called a son of God. And you are called a son or a daughter of God because he has brought you near. Man, that is so good. Not just accepted, you're brought near. Not just brought near, you're a son and daughter. And not just a son and a daughter, it gets even better. You're given an inheritance of eternal life and blessings. And he says, listen, I don't even want you just to have life. I want you to have life to the full. It doesn't stop. It's so good. That's why we call it good news.
Yeah.
Wrap up with this. If you are here today and you need to be accepted, Jesus is ready to bring you in. I don't care if you're saved or not. He's here to let you know that. He's here to let some of you know that you can take a deep breath and stop trying so stinking hard. He says, I am your Father. I am the one who has made you. I'm the one who sacrificed for you. And I love you dearly. Don't fight me. The battle's already won. Are you going to come or not? You need to know that you are accepted by the Most High God. Paul is saying this. I'm sorry, not Paul, but John. I think my cold medicine is slowly wearing off. I'm slowing down to get quieter. John says this in 1 John 4:10. He says, in this is love. Listen to this. In this is love. Not that we have loved God. You can't even love him is what he says. Not that we have loved God, but that he sent his son, Jesus, to be what? The propitiation for our sins. That all that is wrong has been cleared up. The wrath of God has been absorbed. It is over. You don't need to dwell there. You need to be thankful there. and joyful there. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his son. We don't love him, he loves us. He gives us that ability, and we fall more and more and more in love with him. Come be accepted by the only one who really matters. I say this as a husband. I say this as a father. I say this as a friend. I say this as a pastor. At the end of the day, one person matters. Jesus. Am I accepted by him? Everything else moves aside in comparison next to Jesus. Are you accepted by him? You are. Will you come to him?